at Psalm 84, page 595. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, they are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage, as they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, which you can find on page 1052. That's Luke 18, 9 to 14 on 1052. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
You might think this is just so I can be even nearer to you. Actually, it's vanity. No point in me getting washed and shaved if you can't see it. I was kidding. Yeah. And this morning, while we were waiting in the vestry to begin, I found myself with you doing that peculiarly clergy thing of leaning up against the radiator, and it wasn't even on. It reminded me of a story of a parson who had eight sons, seven of whom followed their father into the cloth, and one of whom didn't make the grade, so he went into the army. And one day when they were all at home, they were having a family gathering, and in the parlour there was much theological debate going on, and the soldier felt a little out of things, so he thought he'd have an early night. And he went up and he fell asleep right quite quickly. That was how stimulating the conversation had been. And a few minutes later he came down in a cold sweat and says, Father, I've just had the most terrible dream. I went into hell. And his father said to him, my son, what was it like? And he said, actually, it was not too dissimilar from this. You couldn't get near the fire for the clergy. And that's got nothing whatsoever to do with the rest, I don't think. Let's just take a moment to pray. God, our Father, we praise you and thank you that we have a different vision. We have a vision of a home in heaven. Keep that vision before us, Lord, as we think about your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. We have that great parable from Luke chapter 18, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. which we've all heard so many times we could probably recite it in various versions by heart. And one of the things that would happen when we deal with this parable is that we do the inevitable game of which one are you? Are you more like the Pharisee or are you more like the tax collector? And I don't want to go that route quite this morning because I think it's futile. Because the more I try to be like the tax collector, the more like the Pharisee I become. And the less I try to be like the Pharisee, the more like the Pharisee I become. Because I begin to imagine that in some way I can be worthy of God's approval. That there's that within me that God should really be glad about. Because that's what's going on there, isn't it? Well, before I proceed along those lines, I want to ask you a fairly important question. What is your deepest longing? What is your most profound yearning? What is it at your deepest core of your being that you ache for? Don't try to answer those questions too quickly. And incidentally, you know, I said one question and I gave you three. That's about how par for the course. And there's a couple of problems in answering those questions. For men, by and large, when we start to think in those terms, they'll say, a bit touchy-feely, aren't they, those questions? We're men, we don't go there. Actually, we do, but we don't admit it. And some of us might be saying, well, we're getting a bit long in the tooth. A bit late to be worrying about those kind of things. It's too late now, we're getting past it. Well, no, you're not, and it isn't too late to consider those questions of what it is deep in your deepest heart that you still yearn for. Look at the psalmist in that wonderful psalm, Psalm 84. His deepest yearning was to have what the sparrow had. The sparrow had made its home in the temple. It made its home in the presence of God. It was there in the presence of God that it had its being. And what the psalmist is saying, I want that. I want that with all my being. I want a home with God. I want to be in his presence permanently. I want to just live where God is. And incidentally, the psalmist was a man, and he was probably getting on a bit. And he longed to be close to God, to know himself loved and accepted by God. And before I get told off for not including women and the young, and I am, because this is a universal human condition. This, whether we address it and acknowledge it or not, every human heart longs for God, even if they don't acknowledge God. Because that's what we are made for. And I put it to you that this is what both tax collector and Pharisee wanted. They just went about it differently. They came at it from different angles. The Pharisee came at it by commending himself to God. about telling God what a wonderful guy he was, telling God basically how he couldn't possibly do without him. How lucky you are, God, to have a person like me. And after, look at me, God. I'm not like that tax collector. I'm not an evildoer. I'm not like the rest of men. I tithe twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get. You can't possibly, dear Lord, you can't possibly do without me. And if anyone deserves your approval, it must be me. The tax collector wanted something different. He wanted, like the psalmist, what the sparrow had. He just wanted to be at home with God. He didn't have any bargaining chips to bring to God. He didn't have anything, any achievement, any virtue to present before God. He just brought himself, his unworthy self, to God and asked for mercy. Mercy, as you know, biblically speaking, is not just the withholding of deserved punishment. It is also the provision of what is really needed. And he knew what he needed. He needed the acceptance and the forgiveness and the love and mercy of God, which met that deepest need in his heart. And there's the difference. The Pharisee is unable to acknowledge his need. He's got it all. What more could God possibly want? This guy's got self-righteousness down to a perfect T. What did he need? God needed him. And the tax collector could only see his need. The Pharisee, Jesus said that it was the tax collector who would go home justified rather than the Pharisee. The Pharisee, unable to acknowledge his need, would have to keep on striving to prove himself worthy. More and more tithing, more and more fasting, till God wakes up to the fact that he needs me. The tax collector could only see his need. All he had to offer God was his dependence on God. And Jesus said, this man went home justified. He went home counted by God as righteous. He was okay with God. God had a home for the likes of him. And this is one of the features of our God, isn't it? That our God is drawn to need. Was it said to Moses, I have heard the cry of my people. Of my people. I have heard their cry and I have come. What does he say to us in Jesus then? I have heard the cry of your need and I've come. It is our need to which God is drawn. And to meet that deepest need is the longing in the heart of God himself, revealed perfectly for us in Jesus. He came to meet us, to meet our need and our longings. What we say in the communion service, isn't it? You met us in your Son and brought us home. He answered that basic human longing. He's given us a home with himself. Through all that Jesus has done and achieved for us through the cross and his resurrection and ascension, Jesus has gone and made it as he promised. I will go and make a place for you, and then when I have gone and take, I will come and will take you to be with me. Jesus has gone to prepare that home, that place of belonging and of safety, of security, where deepest longing of our hearts are met perfectly. He's given us that home. And we don't have to look at the sparrow with those longing, envious eyes, because the sparrow would love to be where our home is. And that home has given us a base to launch out of the adventure, on the adventure of living for Jesus. He's given a place of healing to which to return. Given us a home to which we invite others to discover the fullness of the love of God for them, the deepness of his longing to meet their need. And they won't hear that unless it's those who are part of the family who dwell in that house of God. Dwell, and I don't mean the church building, of course, although do I? Isn't this what God has promised in microcosm? That's a great word, isn't it? I've got a clue what it means, but it sounds terrific. And this, we're just a scaled, aren't we as church meant to be a scaled down model of all that God has promised? A place where we are challenged week by week, encouraged week by week, sent out in the world to live for Christ week by week, to come back wounded and battered and loved and healed back into service, to get out there again into the world, to invite others to come and experience what we know to be true in the love of God, in the love and purpose of God for each of our lives. Perhaps we don't do it awfully well. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is that we come to God with the willingness and the openness and the readiness to acknowledge our need. You know, some people would find that quite offensive. I suggest that they are needy people. But we are. If we are not needy people, then how do we come to God to receive what he wants to give? It's because we are needy. And we come to God acknowledging that need and bringing with us whatever those deep longings of our hearts are, whatever those deep yearnings, whatever it is that at the centre of your being you yearn for. We bring those with us in the knowledge that God knows them and is dealing with them. He might not deal with them quite at the speed we would like, but God is on our case. It is his business to meet our needs. So we need to practice. Excuse me. We need to practice that tax collector willingness to acknowledge that we have nothing to offer God except what he's given us. We have nothing to offer God but our need and our yearning for his grace. I was looking at that before we began this morning. Let us approach, let us draw, come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace and help in the time of need. The question for me arises, when is it not a time of need? And the answer to that will be when I pass through the veil into that final version of my home with God. Then I will know no need. But right now, I need to put that need to work with God, to let him deal with it and shape in me, to shape in you and I the image of Christ, that as we go out into that mission field, we'll draw people to him. Because if they can meet the needs of people like you and me, hey, perhaps he can meet their needs too. And God doesn't disappoint. Shall we pray? Excuse me. God, our Father, we praise you that you are a God who needs nothing from us save our dependence upon you. Lord, give us those hearts that are aware of our need. And give us the wisdom to come to that place where alone those needs can be met. Give us confidence that our heart's deepest longings will be met. And give us that assurance of a home with you here and now, and its greater expression hereafter. Give us the willingness to work with you to bring others to that knowledge of their needs met in Jesus. For it's in his name alone that we pray. Amen.